Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, the Chubby Chief, Joseph Holbert. Joseph, how are you?
Jeremy, do you like this podcast?
Not really.
Get off. Just stop doing it then. If you don't like it, get off. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of your negativity. There you go. It's much better. I'm tired of it, folks. I'm absolutely tired of just the constant whining and complaining from my co-host, Jeremy Lambert. In all seriousness, I hope he returns because I don't actually know what we're talking about. And this bit was not thought out as much as I, you know, kind of, as I was going through it, it seemed funnier, but now I'm just left on my own. Not so good. I do see a super chat from JJ, who's saying hello to my favorite big star. Jeremy clicks the super chat for me. Hope you are both good. Getting my COVID shot next week. I'm on a couple weeks from now, JJ, so we're probably on the same timeline here. He thanks us for being awesome and says he loves us both. Jeremy, that feels like a point for you to return. He loves us both. He doesn't want us being, you know.
Even though I can't stand my own podcast, I can't stand wrestling, I can't stand anything right now in the entire world. I'm here. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Oh my God. Joseph, this man, he's lost it. He's looking at this NXT takeover in your house card that he put together, and he's like, "What are we doing? What are we doing out here?"
He's gonna blame Sean, and their friendship will come to an end, and it'll be a glorious. By the way, speaking of Triple H, did you see that? I don't know if we can talk about this on air. Did you see like the AEW creative leak, like Tony Khan's spreadsheet got sent around? Did you get this?
No. What?
All right. I'm gonna say what's on here. This is a scoop. Okay. And you can fire back at me, Jeremy, your thoughts, okay? Co-main, Double or Nothing 2021. Sting over Jean-Paul Levesque, Las Vegas, Nevada. What are you saying? I'm not saying Triple H is leaving. I'm just saying it certainly seems like he's getting fired. You know, because that's what's on the leaks, bro. That's what Tony's got in his spreadsheet. And you know he doesn't go from – when he's got it locked in, it's him. What do you think, Jeremy?
Is this the same spreadsheet that had the media payroll list that AEW had?
We're climbing. Oh,
yeah.
You see us? We're like we used to be at the rock bottom, but now as more people pretend to like NXT and we don't ever do that, we keep popping above them, you know? But I want to make clear that if I ever stop liking AEW, I will simply stop watching it and this podcast will be no more.
But Ryan says, thankful for all your daily content on Patreon. Why did I read it like that? Content on Patreon. Not a big reader, but you two have a way with words. You guys are the total package of media. Glad to be a fan. With a Lex Luger of media. Joseph. I feel like that's an insult. I don't know.
We can roll it. We're WCW guys. We can. Yeah. We like the legs, right? We can deal with the legs.
Yeah. What are we talking? Let's talk about NXT TakeOver In Your House. Joseph, remember this time last year when they brought it back and we said we were going to ban the program if they didn't have the In Your House set? And they had the In Your House set and we still banned the program. Can we just go back to that, man, where we just never talked about NXT?
No, we can't.
This was so much better.
I used to watch more than just AEW then. And then now that AEW is on Fridays, I literally have nothing to talk about. So we have to do NXT. That feels like so long ago, Jeremy.
That feels like a year ago.
A decade. It feels like a decade, yeah, though.
Does feel like it was a long time ago.
I think we have to be very careful with this because I know that we have pals in the chat that are fans of the NXT. And they're going,
They can leave. They can leave.
They don't like the show. They can get out of here. You know, they're aware that we are what the industry would call haters.
Fair.
But I do think this is like, while the consensus, and I haven't watched close enough to give you my take on this, folks, but the consensus is the TV has improved. Jeremy has his own take and says he's been hoodwinked and such.
Yeah.
But the take is, the general take that you'd agree, like, is that the TV's got better, right?
No.
Okay. This does feel like I don't want to say it's like a crisis. That's way dramatic. But when you look at this show, this has got to be one of the weakest takeover cards on paper in like some time. This feels very bare bones. And I get that someone would say, well, you know, it's because their top five guys are in one match. But that's not my fault, is it? They booked that, you know?
They can't help it, Joseph. They just threw their top five guys in one match.
I don't, I'm very distant from everything because I don't like wrestling. But I checked the NXT card because I'm going to review it on Monday on Twitch. You're going to be there with me, Jeremy, and we'll go through, you know, you love going match by match, right? And we're going to do it for NXT, and it's like, I look at the card, and this isn't going to be very good, I don't think. I mean, it should be fine. You do?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. Like, on paper, are these the best matches in the world? No, but, like, the talent is still very good. You know what I mean? Like the talent's good, and I think the matches will be good.
Okay, let's go. Let's just do this hit by hit.
Okay.
What are you most confident in being good? The six man.
Yeah.
I agree. That would be very good. Ember and Raquel, right? We can lock that in.
That'd be good. Ember's great. Raquel plays her role very well. That'd be good.
Right. Now the rest we need to, I don't know. I have not seen like Xia Li. I've not seen in extended matches personally, so I can't comment on that.
I don't think it's going to be an extended match, honestly. I think Mercedes will kind of get a little bit early, and then Zaya will put her away, and that's how it'll go. I don't think this is going to be like a super extended type match. If it it could fall apart a little bit, but I think that thing's going like 5 minutes or so.
So in that case, it can only have such a negative effect, right? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Do we just think Cameron Grimes is going to like pull this one out, this ladder match with LA Knight? Like, I don't know.
He's going to do something. He's going to do something spectacular. And, is it going to be a ladder match that I remember? No. Why is it a ladder match, Joseph? Can you explain this to me? Ted DiBiase, never been in a ladder match, by the way. Has like, no history with ladder matches. Doesn't – I guess he's climbed a court. He hasn't even climbed, like, a corporate ladder. He's just a rich dude. Like, it just comes out. He's like, oh, we're going to make this a ladder match. Why? Why does Ted DiBiase need this to be a ladder match? Why does he make it something else, like a body slam challenge? Doesn't he like to do that shit? I feel like he did that once or twice, right? Like,
I guess my question would be to your question. My question would be, well, is an LA Knight match better in this setting where it's like at least it will be like Cameron can do stunts and crazy shit? Like,
LA Knight in this match? Don't put LA Knight in this match.
I agree, but like, you know, we can only look at what we've got given here, and it's like, by the way, guys, I do not dislike LA Knight. Everyone else in wrestling media does. Don't know why. Fine. I have no issue. I'm good promo. No issue. But
Joseph, you like when he goes, "Listen here, dummy"? Like when he
sure,
does that?
Man. Sure. Look, if you poke fun at any wrestling catchphrase ever, it is dumb. They're all wrestling catchphrases, you know? My take on it would be, I feel like a 12-minute just straight singles match between these two would be a lot less fun than a ladder match will be. So, yeah, I get you. It doesn't mean it's good, but like, Hang on, you were the one that was telling me the card was good, pal. I'm trying to play with the with what you're giving me.
I don't right? like so, that. You know, I don't like this shoehorned okay. liar bullshit.
So then it comes down to the basically the qualifier for what you said is you assume the main event's going to be very good, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's four of these talents are very good, so I think it's going to be a fine match because you know they'll all roll in the outside. It'll be a bunch of singles matches. It'll be good.
It's just. You know when we had our conversation about like Omega in a triple threat, it felt very just tacked on and like last minute. Like, oh, let's just put two top contenders and they'll figure out a great match. I mean, this is that times a thousand, isn't it? Like a five-way. Like who needs a five-way? Like, do we really need to do this? Is this here's the big question to me. Is this to protect Cross on the finish or to protect Cross's performance?
Both.
Yeah,
I think it's both. I think it's more to protect him. Yeah, I think he's going up. Yeah, I think it's to protect him on the finish more than anything because I don't know if they're necessarily like unhappy with his reform. Maybe they are because they got Adam Cole burying him. And like they got Cole being like, yeah, you got all this cool intro and all this stuff. Like for me, they just ring the bell. Like they got Cole burying him as far as his in-ring performances go. So maybe they are unhappy with that aspect. But the consensus I kind of get is like they aren't like they think the Balor matches were good and like they were fine. They thought the Keith Lee match was good. It wasn't. But I don't think they're unhappy with that aspect of it. I think it's to protect him on the finish. My issue is like you just got a bunch of losers in this match. Adam Cole just lost. Johnny Gargano just lost. O'Reilly is deserving. And I think Dunn beat Kushida at the last takeover. So like that's fine too. The way they set it up was just so predictable. Though, like, oh, it's a triple threat match, and then here comes Adam Cole to ruin it. Like, the setup was just bad. She's like, let's just throw them all together into one match. Bill's Mafia is saying he just runs through all of them. Like, look, if they want to do that and they like really want to go full bore with Karrion Kross, I'd actually kind of respect that. Is that something I would do when the viewership continues to drop? No, but I would respect that they just want to be like, hey, this is our guy. He's clearly head and shoulders above the rest of these guys. I don't think they're going to do that, though.
I'm very scared because you just froze for me, and I'm not sure if that means I froze for you. Very scared about that. It worries me about my internet connection, but I'll continue. Am I sounding okay? Am I here? Am I good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think you're spot on when you say that your assumption is they're happy with Cross. I think he's actually the kind of guy that they will sit behind the curtain and say, oh, he's methodical and he gets it. I really do believe that. I think, you know, I think whatever the perception is online of him, I think they see it the other way. I think there's an opportunity with the booking you just mentioned of Cross running for everyone. Now, again, we're trying to speak objectively because we both, if we're just doing what we want to do, he's not going to do that, right? Do we not think there's a chance for him to kind of send some of these guys off? Because I know it's not going to happen, Jeremy, but some of these guys just don't need to be in NXT anymore. And frankly, this is not me criticizing Triple H. It would take a really good creative team to keep some of these guys like fresh.
Who are you sending off though? Because if you look at it, like I don't think Gargano's going anywhere. Not with like the way stuff they love that, and I enjoy that stuff too. He's not just gonna leave. Like all of them aren't going up to the main roster. There's still too much to do with Austin, Candice, and Indy, and the Dexter Lumis stuff. Hey, do you know that Candice and Indy are the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions? Really glad they have those belts to put them on this show. You know that was a great. Tremendous call. So I don't think Gargano's going anywhere. O'Reilly and Cole, like they're still Undisputed Era split stuff that they haven't done yet. Like O'Reilly and Cole is only one thing. I know, but like I'm just saying, that's only one thread they've touched on. They got Roderick Strong who just quit. He legit just quit. He's like, here's my papers. I'm done with this shit. Bobby Fish is, you know, he's back to bring the split. So like there's still more stuff they can explore there. Dunn is like the one guy who you can kind of like potentially go to the main roster, but like he ain't going to the main roster, right? Like they don't have a spot for Pete Dunn. That's not a guy that Vince is like, oh yeah, I got a Pete Dunn on my roster here. I don't see any of these guys moving up. There's actually more you can still do with them in NXT. And I'm not saying it's going to be good or bad or that I have faith in any of it, but like there's still more options they can explore with a lot of these guys, and Cross is the one guy. It's like, all right, what are you really going to do with him unless you just keep making him a dominant champion?
See, the thing, my take on it is the way he feels like a very much a main roster act.
But I understand what you're saying. It will be a lower on the card. But it's like, okay, we both agree Candice would obviously make both divisions better, right? Now, that doesn't mean it would actually be any help to them because we don't know what they'd do with her. We have a lot of evidence it wouldn't be good. I just, it really feels like, you know, the report was about the draft and all that good stuff. And it's like, it feels like this is a chance to just start fresh, man. You know, start fresh. And that means sending guys down too. And if they don't want to, I mean, they've been pretty ruthless recently. I'm sure no one's ready to be like, no, I'm cool up here. Because at this point, they've shown you what their, you know, mentality is. And look, I'm maybe not the person to ask, right? Maybe there's an NXT loyalist that doesn't want to lose any of these guys. To me, I don't see what's being gained here at this point. It's just like you're just going in circles. And I've Lewis says about Gargano winning the title, and I've seen people suggesting on Twitter, and it's like, does anyone need that, though? I mean, we all think highly of Johnny, but does anyone need him as heel champ right now? I don't. But then if you ask me who I want to be champ, it's like, someone brand new, you know, a Swerve, a Bronson Reed, and these guys they feel firmly in the tier below that. I think obviously Bronson, Johnny got him up there a little bit and then put him over with. It feels like it needs fresh ingredients, man. Like, I mean, it's easy for us to sit and dunk on Triple H forever, and I think some of it's deserved, some of it's not. But the reality is NXT has lost its most refreshing trait, which is that guys don't stick around forever and ever.
Well, and that's a problem. It evolves, you know, it matures, the brand grows. This is what Triple H told me an hour ago, is that you can't just have guys go up all the time. Sometimes you got to think long term. Literally, just speaking directly to me.
That's for that Jeremy Lambert piece of shit out there.
You know, it has to grow. It can't just be you cycle guys in and out and stuff. That was the knock on it before. Remember, Joseph? They're like, oh, is it a developmental? And then people were complaining that guys are being cycled in and out too much. Now we're all complaining that guys are sticking around too long. Make up your mind, Joseph. What do you want out of the brand?
I know you're doing a bit, but like people actually think that. And I can confirm I never, ever. Now look, this is going to become a bigger conversation and it's going to need to because we have nothing else to talk about. So here we go, Jeremy. We will now talk about NXT for another hour. There was a point in time, and this is a very necessary point to make. I would say from how do I kind of ponder this? From maybe Neville forward or Sami Zayn forward, every NXT champ for a while was a guy that you could see working semi at least on top in WWE. Would you agree with that? So, like, for example, when Finn was on top of NXT, what was everyone saying? I can't wait to see him as WWE champ. Samoa Joe, Shin, Bob Roode. Like, it sounds funny now, but like Bob Roode was a guy that people were booking higher on the card than he ended up. They were, but you know, people can dunk on that, but they were. He dropped it to Drew. Drew's obviously gone and done that. Andrade. Okay, now we hit a very important point in the timeline. Because Andrade goes to Black, who then we move into the Ciampa Gargano chapter. And why this is interesting is the Gargano Ciampa chapter is really, I would assume if you ask people that work in NXT and were involved, that's like the magnum opus, right? That's their ultimate feud that they built internally. They set up that team and they did the story and they, you know, did all the turn and all that stuff. And I think, look, I was at the first match they had. It was wonderful. So I'm not here to knock it. I think they run it into the ground a little bit. But it seems clear to me that particularly in the case of Gargano, everyone involved is aware he's just less valuable in the hands of a Vince McMahon than he is Triple H, right? He's not a top guy for Vince McMahon. And that isn't a knock on him. And he could say to that, hang on a second, you know, Daniel Bryan. And that's fair. But generally speaking, he's always felt like a guy that would be firmly underneath. And they don't want that, so they keep him in NXT. Ciampa doesn't want to go up because, frankly, I think the same fate would kind of suit him. So it's like, okay. So at that point, it feels like NXT firmly moved towards, like, super indie officially, to me anyway. The problem with that is our current two champs feel like developmental champs. And that's when the lack of identity that we had Phil Lindsay, the great Phil Lindsay, on our show last week on Twitch, and he really hit this perfectly. The lack of identity then becomes troubling because it's like, okay, objectively, I think it's very good for Raquel that she's getting this title run. But if you're just a third brand, slash like super indie WWE, she's not a top five women's wrestler on that roster, right? That's not a diss to her, like that's a stacked roster. This is where you get a problem. Karrion Kross is the same thing. You just said you don't know what to do with Karrion Kross NXT. I don't either. But that's because it feels like an ill fit because they feel like a super indie. So I say all of this to make no real point, Jeremy, other than we need, at some point, someone needs to put their hand up and actually say, what is this show that we're booking here? Is it a hybrid? Because that feels like it's difficult to do at this point. To me, anyway. I don't know.
It's metal main roster, Joseph. That's what it is. It's metal main roster. It's the same nonsense you get on the main roster, but Triple H puts screaming metal music and lowers the lights down for it, and that's what it is. That's it.
Right. But how do we... So Karrion Kross does feel very metal. And I mean that as a dunk, I'm going to be honest. I don't know about Raquel. I mean, I don't know what the show is. I understand your explanation. I wish they were more...
They don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. So how are we supposed to know what this show is? They don't know if it's developmental. They don't know if it's a third brand. I think we've said it for a very long time that like you should treat it like a third brand. And by that, I mean you don't have to give them a bunch of wins at Survivor Series to make it be like, oh, see, we're equal footing and stuff. Like actually use it as a territory system of like, hey, this guy on Raw isn't working out anymore. Let's put him on NXT. This guy on NXT isn't working out anymore. Let's put him on SmackDown. This guy on SmackDown is where, like, actually rotate people in and out to keep them fresh and to keep feuds fresh. They don't do that with NXT. Sometimes they get people called up, but then if they do get called up, there's no actual ties to like their NXT persona. And that's the, like, that's the knock on it, right? Is that they don't, there's no ties to it. It's like, okay, they lost in NXT, then they come up, and then the person they were in NXT has no bearing on what they do in the main roster. At least when people go down to NXT, like, it does freshen them up a little bit. Like, I think we both agree that, like, Balor seems better in NXT, Ember Moon better in NXT. It's when they get moved up to Raw or SmackDown, this is Triple H's kind of complaint, is they're misused. Because, you know, you get moved from the college to the NFL, it's a different system, you have to learn a different playbook and everything, and sometimes it just doesn't work out, never mind that they control this actual booking and stuff. But that's how it should be utilized. Just make it a third brand and kind of move guys around to keep them fresh.
See, ideally, you have three brands and each of them have their own identity and personality, right? So what that would mean is if we're all locked into three brands and we say, okay, NXT, we want to be our kind of pure wrestling work rate promotion. I know he hates that word, but that's what it is, right? That's what their fans believe it is. That would then mean that in an ideal world, they sign Karrion Kross and they say, this is going to be an elaborate, kind of spectacular entrance and presentation. He's more of a attraction than a bell-to-bell guy. So you put him on whichever brand that means he'd better fit, SmackDown or Raw, right? But because they still believe it's the entry point, we run into this problem. And I think that's the issue we're trying to get at. Now, on a more positive note, because I don't want to talk about this for too long. It's, you know, it's pointless, isn't it? We don't like it. Why do we watch it? I don't watch it is the answer to that.
I watch it because I have to cover it.
I'm very excited for this. That's a lie. I will intently watch this Ember Moon Raquel Gonzalez match. I mean, it should be very good. This is a big test for Raquel, man. Because if you're like a big, you know, I'm kind of a monster heel, I guess you would frame her as at this point, there's like very few opponents better for that than Ember Moon, who is just spectacular in the opposing role of fighting from underneath. So I'm excited for that match as a match. I think it'll be very good. But I'm also intrigued as like a case study on where actually is Raquel at, because Ember's just, she's elite in a way that will only be appreciated.
She's like a top five draft pick for you.
She's spectacular. I mean, I've said it a million times, and I'll keep doing it because no one else talks about it. Like, the fact that she came back from that injury and is this good is outrageous. Like, it should be a talking point every week. But she's someone that, you know, she has her issues with promos and stuff. I personally think she's pretty charismatic. She always gets over well live. She has an issue, I think, getting her personality, like, across in promo segments. And I don't think they've done a very good job of exploring different ways of doing it. They just have their way, and it's like, you know, try and fit people in. But she's, you know, I think as a talent in ring, she's one of the best in ring talents you'll probably ever see in the women's division. Like, and they might sound hyperbolic, guys, but I mean, her offense is outrageous, right? Like, her shit looks incredible. And she's just as explosive on the cell. So, I love Ember. I'm excited for the match. I'm glad she's in this spot. What's next for after this, though, is where you kind of go, Are they just going to do the classic, like, she turns heel on Shotzi? Like, it's like, sure, man. Like, they do it with everyone, so probably. But
I don't think so. I think Ember loses. I think Shotzi returns. I mean, she says she's injured. I feel like it's storyline. I don't know that for certain. It's just how I'm reading things. I think Shotzi returns. I think they're going to do a Dakota and Raquel turn at some point. Like, that's what it seems like they're setting up as. I don't know if that does happen. What do we think of, I'm just going to throw this out there. We talked about, you know, it used to be the champion would have a little run, lose the title, go up to the main roster, right? What if that's the case here with both champions? Cross loses, Ember lose, or Ember wins, and Raquel and Cross are main roster bound. Both of them.
I'm sorry to hear that. Would be my initial response. No, I mean, look, I think it's a matter of where you're going. And I know that's a ridiculous answer, Jeremy, because we both agree they wouldn't have an idea. But so with Karrion Kross, we can dunk all we want. If they have a like a spot open and a vacancy for a top heel
they
or
do, they'll just bring in Kross and put him in the Aleister Black spot. They'd be like, look, it's Aleister Black.
See, you kid, but like, sure, right? Like, to them, it's no different. It's just, you know, bald guy, not bald, be a tattooed guy that's spooky. See, you know, if you have him in a position where you slot him in, I think that's fine. Because the thing with Cross is, whether you think he's brilliant or awful, he is who he is. See, like, he's been around now, and he knows what he's doing. He knows his skill set. You can like it or dislike it. That's true. You know, you're obviously entitled to that opinion. Raquel's someone I'd be more protective of. Because I think Rhea Ripley is, you know, Rhea Ripley is showing us that, like, it's hard up there, man.
Yeah.
It's actually, people might not agree with this because it's very gimmick oriented and stuff, but I really think it's the hardest place to get over, man. Like, Raw or SmackDown, to actually get over and not just lose your whole identity, I think is so hard. And I don't think we talk about it enough because we're all so detached. Like, I love Rhea Ripley. I always have. I think she's such a great kind of like build around her for a decade and change. But I watch some of this stuff she does on Raw and I'm like, it's flat enough, Jeremy, that I'm left questioning if I still like Rhea Ripley. And I know I do. I think the world of her is a talent. But they've lost her personality. And I'm not saying she was ever Ric Flair. She wasn't. But like, I don't even know who she is or what her identity is. Does that make sense? Like, it's just so cookie cutter. I don't think Raquel would fare any better. Unfortunately, so it's difficult. I mean, Cross would make sense, frankly. I mean, at this point, like, the NXT fit's probably not there. If you think highly of him, man, go it. Like, you know, try your best, see what Sarah does. Raquel, I'd be protective of.
Oh, I'm with you. I would keep Raquel in NXT, and I don't think Raquel is losing. But yeah, main roster. Rhea Ripley is the can she coexist girl, Joseph. That's been her feuds. In WWE, is can she coexist with this person she's about to face? That's it. That's what I know about Rhea Ripley on the main roster.
She, like, actually, no one knows if she's a heel or a babyface.
No.
Which is not ideal. No idea.
Because it depends on who she's facing. Joseph, can she coexist with this person? If she can, then she might be a heel. If she can't, she might be a babyface. No one knows. It's great. It's shades of gray, Joseph. That's what we love, right? We love the shades of gray.
We do. We absolutely love being complicated at who we're supposed to like in wrestling. Look, I think she's someone that has so much going for her. And when I see them emphasizing all of the things that she currently struggles with, I am like, it's a level of perplexity. I'm like, do they want her to succeed? I mean, I assume so. She's won the title a month into her run, but like, I watch it and I'm. But then, this is the thing is, I don't want to make this a like fed bad shit because, like, honestly, we should all just follow the advice. If we don't like it, we should just stop watching. Who gives a shit, right? But I watched this segment that they did with Paul Bailey. And it's like I understand that Bailey's funny, but like, she doesn't have to be a full-on like stand-up comic now, you know? And not everyone has to be. Everyone has to. They find something, and it's like, okay, that is now who she is, right? She's full of just shtick. And I'm left concerned about the whole division. And the only reason I'm not more concerned is because, I try not to care, and B, more importantly, because the men is like equally just absolutely flat and uninteresting. So other than Roman, obviously we know what we think about Roman, but it's a bummer, man. It's an all-time crew of talent they've got there, especially on the female side, and
They got the best talent, best female performers in wrestling. WWE does. That's where all the best female performers are.
Look, I might get dunked on for this, but like in terms of if you're trying to maximize ceiling as a woman's wrestler, would you agree WWE is probably the place you would go? If you hit that, you know, it's tough. We agree it's tough. Main event in WrestleMania is a possibility now. So it's like, I get it. I understand.
I think talent-wise, I don't think Triple H is wrong when he says that all the top females are here. I mean, obviously, there are some exceptions and stuff, but like talent-wise, yeah, their roster is incredible. The problem is they have poor coaching.
Yeah. like you, real sports terminology there, pal. I think it's actually the UFC comparison is good, where it's like the UFC don't have every great fighter in the world. They just have the most of them, right? They have the majority. Is that deal? I mean, you know, we spoke last week about how Ruby Riott would come in as a top three AEW woman. And it's like, she wasn't that over there. And that's not me, you know, and that's proof that wrestling isn't all about the talent, boys. It's about creative. It's about, you know, planning and all that good stuff. But it's,
you know, stuff you can't control.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I think it's interesting because I do think, We shouldn't lose sight of, okay, progress has been made. But at some point, when you hear some of the stuff you hear and you watch some stuff you watch, it's like not all progress is good, you know? Like, is it cool that Alexa Shayna...
Yeah, it's pretty bad. If you watch it on Saturdays, it's pretty horrible.
I definitely don't watch it. only policemen should be watching that show. Yeah. I think when you say... So, for example, okay, you could say, if you were being very positive, you could say, man, a non-title feud like Alexa and Shayna closing Raw, look how far we've come. And I would say, yes, while I watched the segment, I am less certain that we've come very far at all. But it's, you know, there's progress, and we can debate whether it's worthwhile or not. But my issue is I look at the women's division, and it's some of the greatest talent in the world, and I do not care about any of these people. And that's not ideal, Jeremy. That is not ideal. But we'll move on from the Fed. We don't need to do it.
Your Bayley point, real quickly, is I said this months ago, or whenever she came out, and it was probably months ago. It was right after WrestleMania, right? And she laughed at Bianca, and she did her laugh, and people were like, "Oh, this is so great, Bayley." She just laughs in her face and everything, and I was like, "She's gonna do this for 5 months, and that's gonna be the entire feud, because they latch on to this laugh, and that's gonna be her whole character. There's not gonna be anything else to it." That's all it's going to be. And that's all it's been for 2 months now. If she doesn't, Bayley like has turned into a very good promo. She turned into a very good character with this stuff. And like all that shit has been dropped and now she just laughs. It's like, here, just do this. This is what the people want. And then they put it on all the Thunderdome screens because, you know, why not?
I need to explain my progress quote because Hidden Eagle 1990 is very upset at me. And rightly so, because it's very poor English. What I mean is, Hidden Eagle 1990, it is definitely objective progress, right? If self within said progress is bad enough, it will cause the adverse, the reaction you would want, is what I'm saying. I understand it makes no sense, but you get what my point is.
I think it's progress the same way it's equality and that they're being booked just like the men, and that's what we want, right?
That's certainly true. Yeah, that's true.
You know, what if the men... The whole show was just the men, Joseph, and the women were just part of it. What if the women had their own show and were being booked like this? The fact that they're being booked together like this, I think that's progress, and I think that's exactly what equality is. I've never heard a different term for equality.
This stop talking about this. This sucks.
Super chats. Man Antonio says, sorry, this has nothing to do with what you're talking about. Good. That's what we're talking about. It's horrible. But I'm at work. How good was that Miro promo with that thunder?
I've not seen this promo. Is it on the Twitter?
Yeah, it's on his Twitter. Remember the one he cut last week or the week before with Archer and he's sitting by the pool and everything? Mm-hmm. It's in similar vein to that where it's just him with his phone and it's dark out and he's cutting a promo on Evil Uno. And like right when he hits his crescendo, you can hear the thunder in the background.
My God.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
His little like 30-second promo was one of the best things on Dynamite last week, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Maybe we should talk about it now because I don't want to talk about the interview anymore.
Bud Ryan says metal main roster, and I cracked him up with that. I, you know, good. I like that. Go ahead.
Was that okay? Just it was a super chat.
What do you mean it was a super chat? If you're gonna praise me in super chats, I mean all super chats get read, but especially if you're gonna praise me.
You know what? I'm not even gonna move on because I think it's worth talking about. Okay. In a vacuum, some of the quotes we read today are meaningless, and in the grand scheme of the world, they are just meaningless anyway, right? I mean, it's just a guy talking about wrestling. Who cares? It's like you and I. None of this matters. However, it's genuinely relevant that there is this dynamic between the audience and the promotion. And the idea that the response to any criticism is, if you don't like it, stop watching. You know, like, you just, why are you analysing the stuff I make? And it's just, you know, at some point, man, and I'm not talking for anyone but myself on this, because I've done it and I've walked that walk and I'm proud of it. At some point, it's like, you know what, like, fine, I won't then. I'll stop watching. I'll stop caring. Fine. Because at some point, you're like basically insulting me for caring.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't want to get on here and whine. Probably a little bit late for that. But I just, look, I don't want to make a big deal of a dumb quote, because we all have dumb quotes. I just had one a minute ago about progression. But at the same time, I do think it's important to realize why there is such a resentment, such an animosity between the audience and the promotion, is because people are tired of being told, no, you actually want this. No, you actually don't know what you like or dislike. And it's just, some fans probably are very fickle. But it seems, it's not a coincidence to me that they have this just such a seemingly toxic relationship with their own audience, Jeremy. It's really puzzling. I find it to be frustrating as a fan.
They've been doing this for years. Like, that's the thing, this stuff isn't even new. The Mark quote by Triple H is how old now? Like, they've been doing this for years. The people are the authority, you know. And then they want to do interviews, media calls, and whatnot, and talk about how they listen to the fans. They listen to the fans, but then they're also saying, hey, if you don't like it, don't watch. They're just as fickle as the fans are. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you. I'm totally with you. I mean, I know you've, like, checked out on caring about a lot of this stuff. I have too. Like, I gotta watch the shows. I gotta watch to cover. But Raw, I don't watch Raw anymore. I don't have to cover it anymore. We don't have a reason to discuss it on this show. Our show's not gonna live or die if we give our opinions on Raw. So, you know, if there's something that, like, I watched the Shayna segment because a lot of people were talking about it. Everything else, I haven't seen a second of anything else that happened on Raw. I watched that one thing because it was goofy and wacky and in the points of discussion. We're not even talking about it on the show, though. I don't watch anything from that. I wouldn't watch SmackDown if I didn't have to. I'd watch the Roman stuff. I wouldn't watch NXT. Like, they're not wrong. And, like, if you don't like it, don't watch it. Just don't. And the thing is, like, people aren't. People are not watching it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you can look at the viewership, and they can talk about linear eyeballs and all this stuff, but you can just look at the numbers, and people are not watching it.
It's a shame. That's all why. You know, I don't want to dwell on it because it's like, what's he?
It's not a shame. Right? They treat us like we're idiots.
No, but it's a shame because it's like there are still people that hang on to it. And, like, for example, okay, we have peers that, like, actually emotionally responded to how bad the Shayna Alexa thing was. And it's like, I know what your reaction was because it was the same as mine. We just were like, look at these goofs, you know?
Yeah.
I'm amazed that everyone else hasn't reached this point. I'm glad they're optimistic enough to avoid said just absolute defeated, like, you know, where we're at. But it goes back to what I said last week. That's why it's good that more and more talent is out of that system, because I just think it's a pretty sad state. I really do. And the thing with viewership stuff is obviously perspective matters, and they're still doing okay, right? You know, they're not like plummeting.
Yeah, they're still good when it comes to, like, demo. Right. They're top of the cable ratings and everything.
Exactly, so, and that matters. You know, yes, we're not here to do Fed Dead and all that shit. It's just, I think it's important. I don't want to advise or lecture anyone, but if you're a fan that gets, like, actively upset about watching, I would strongly recommend, like, try to reframe what they're in mind, because I did it many, many months ago, maybe longer than that, years. But I still have conversations like this where I'm like, man, I don't want it to be, like, groundbreaking. But it's kind of a bummer that there's this just such toxicity and, like, just anger between the people that want to enjoy the product and those creating it. It's just not a good deal. I don't know, Drew. We should probably move on because it's like, what is there left to say? But I think it's worth having the conversation because people will notice they've watched your show for the longest that we once used to like break down every show equally. And you just said like, I don't watch any of those shows. So we end up just not talking about them. And if you like the Dirty Meeting, guys, I apologize. But like, it's what I need to do for my own just being content with covering this stuff. And it doesn't help that I'm constantly told that I shouldn't have an opinion anyway. It's like, okay, fine, I won't. That's where I'm at on it.
I will say this. If you are someone who still is invested and wants to be invested, honestly, more power to you. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with doing investment. I don't think this is going to be a great analogy, but since I just wrote this piece on patreon.com/thedistraction, like, if you want to treat it like sports and be like, hey, this is my sports team and stuff, it's not a perfect analogy, even though Triple H is talking about college and NFL. And everything. So if you want to get invested in these people and be like, oh, I want this person to succeed, like you want your sports team to succeed, like I can kind of get it. I think the issue, at least in my mind, is like when the owner is actively telling you, hey, you know, if you don't like that I'm not making these good trades, if you don't like that I'm benching our star player and things like that, then don't watch. Like, I'd probably check out on my sports team if that was the case too.
Yeah, and, you know, just to add another disclaimer to what you said there, if you still enjoy the product, you're not wrong for that. You should like, if you like it, then all hell. People in the follow me know this, I'm not online telling people they're wrong for that. I'm giving my opinion. And I think, you know, people that watch this show are in a particular bubble, so our perspective's probably pretty overlapping. I think it's important we have these conversations at once, because it's like, I want it to be clear I'm not being performative with this. This is where I'm at right now. And it's relevant because when you see a guy who's as high up in the promotion as Triple H is, and as you said, he's been saying it for years, but it really does ring true. It's like, okay, man, why are we even doing a media call there? You know, like, we're just not even allowed to have any opinions on it. We can't say anything. We just have to stop watching. Like, okay, I'll take your advice. But as I say, this will be reviewing the show next Monday, so it's a big circle and you know, whatever. Anyway,
speaking of the media call, well. Yeah. The super chat here from JF Gators. Triple H's response to Mickey's All Women's Pay-Per-View. You want to wrestle the best? Come work here. She did work there, never got to wrestle, and you fired her. Joseph and I were talking about this off air. Like, I was kind of more offended at this response than if you don't like it, don't want, because they've been doing that shit for years. Like, whatever. This response was like, just give your cliche answer. Just be like, hey, you know, good for her. You know, she's going to do this all women's pay-per-view. She's going to do what she wants. It's a shame we couldn't get it worked out here, whatever. We're still talking about doing Evolution 2. It's got to be the timing and all this kind of stuff. Like, give the cliche answer you've always been giving. And of course, you know, be like, you know, we'll see if we can work something out about women going there. Obviously, that wouldn't happen, but, you know, give the presence. I don't think that's the right word, but give the what's the word I'm looking for, Joseph? Impression? Give the impression that an NXT talent is going to go and work this NWA women's show or whatever. But the answer he gave was so bad with the equality stuff and everything. Like, dude, what are you doing? Right. Like, this man is just clearly frustrated with a lot of things. And if you're in that position, illusion, there you go. If you're in that position, maybe just don't do these media calls and stuff. Just don't do it.
Look, man, if you and I hopped on and just spent an hour talking about men and women and equality in pro wrestling, it would be dumb, right? For him to do it and actually like lecture people is really kind of embarrassing, because you could pick so many holes in what equality actually is in wrestling. You could also point out that they've only even been close to that term in WWE for the last 5 years, and before that was not even on the scale. It's such a dumb comment. It's the kind of thing I expect to see, you know, under the absolute shittiest Twitter accounts in wrestling. Like, it is, you know.
That's what Triple H has become. He's a Roman Reigns avatar. That's what he is. His name is like, acknowledge me, HHH. That's his, everybody, is there a Twitter user with acknowledge me, Triple H? He's got a Roman Reigns avatar, and it says, retweeted by Sasha Banks on this date. Hashtag legit boss fan crew, whatever. Wow, this is his burner account. This is Triple H's burner account.
Look, I just think it can be a nuanced conversation, but he was so like, this is how it is, and it's just embarrassing. So we've actually spoken on the show before about the idea that like evolution in an ideal world, that pay-per-view completed, like that put a bow on all that had come before it, you know, in its own weird way. But me saying that, it's still more important to listen to the actual, like, you know, the women that actually watched WWE. And this goes back to the prior point, and God bless the person that super chat. I really do appreciate it, but this is why, you know, now I'm going to have to go back. We talk about that you know, that resentment between audience and promotion. Has there been a pay-per-view in the last 5 years people like more than Evolution? No. Why can't they just do another Evolution? Why does it always have to be this push back and forth? It's just frustrating. It's unnecessary, right? Like, would it hurt their business? And here's the crazy part. I mean, this may come across wrong, but I mean it sincerely. In the COVID pandemic era, they had an excuse to do it without having to worry about ticket sales. They could have just done it as a network. But it has to be this, you know, no, we won't give you that. You know, and the audience is always pushing back and forth. People wanted it. Just do it. And if it isn't as good, maybe then they won't want it again. I don't know, dude. Like, it's
so dumb in that you're right. Like, especially during the pandemic era, they could have just done it. All the talent's in one spot anyway. You don't have to worry about ticket sales or anything like that. You just do it as the network special. Not only are like fans pushing for it, you can say it's a minority of fans, whatever. Like, the talent is pushing for it too. I get, like, all right, Mickey's trying to pitch an all women's brand. If they don't want to do that, whatever. But like, every single woman has mentioned, hey, when are we doing Evolution 2? Like, the top people too. Charlotte Flair, they love Charlotte Flair. Natalia, they love her. The Bellas, they're all like, when is Evolution 2? And it's just like, equality. You're on the main roster with all of us. Like, that's better than Evolution. That's better than having your own show, Joseph. Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss closing Monday Night Raw, better than having an Evolution 2.
I do think, you're going to make me talk about Lily.
you don't have to. We can move on.
I want to say this. I do think it's important. I'm glad we spoke earlier about broader issues within the women's division. Because, like, it's very easy to just use that feud, and rightly so, it's terrible, but use, like, the Alexa stuff as the punching bag, and it's like, you know, that pill would be a lot easier to swallow if there were some good title programs. You know, Jeremy? Like, if just imagine a world where Charlotte, Asuka, and Rhea, that whole scene was interesting, maybe we would be able to tolerate more Alexa playing Bray Wyatt. The problem is they're focused on that while nothing else is good in the women's division. So it's a bigger issue than just Alexa and Shayna, bless them. I mean, I worry for both of those two, but that's another topic for another day. So, let's talk about, should we talk about Andrade now?
Sure.
I said this to you on air, off air. I'm going to do it again, man. We played ourselves. We played ourselves. We all laid it up and then blocked our own shot. And I don't know why we did this, because he requested his release and everyone was like, oh, he's going to AEW. And then inexplicably, within a day, we had decided to land him. We had decided that he was like never going to work for AEW because, you know, he's friends with Roosh. He would never. And then, like, I have no scoops, but from the outside looking in, it feels like Andrade's really excited to have got this contract signed. I think this is a very important moment in the wrestling landscape, as we are now just about a month, a little bit more, away from all of this great talent being, you know, their 90 days being complete, and then there'll be a couple, you know, month or so more, and we'll be the same thing. I think that this is a relevant moment in the sense that this is not a case of WWE and the rest. It's exactly what we kind of perceived it as, but we're all a little bit hesitant to say. It's WWE, big, huge gap, you know, daylight, AEW, and then another daylight. This isn't a case of, okay, they're going to throw WWE, everyone get their bids in, right? This is a case of, it seems to me, Jared, people want to be in All Elite Wrestling, the All Elite Fleet. Am I right? Do you think, we're not scoops, we're just talking here. But like, Andrade feels like this feels telling to me. It seems that the perception for AEW internally is that's the place to be, man. Like, I don't think people rush into these other places. For better or worse, I'm not saying that's good or bad for wrestling. I'm just saying it seems that way to me.
We certainly, I mean, Tony Khan's got the pockets. If he wants a guy, he's going to get him. right? There's worry about, all right, where are you going to be in the shuffle with AEW? Because there's a lot of talent and they want to push a lot of talent. I think when you're a guy like Andrade, when you're a guy like Miro, say a Samoa Joe or an Aleister Black, because they're, I mean, they are available if that's where they decide to go. I don't think those guys are quite as worried. Like, I think Miro is a great example because he came in a little lukewarm on the debut. We weren't really feeling that. I wasn't really feeling this Andrade debut. It was a, you know, pairing with Vicky is kind of weird, but I think we all agree Miro is in a very great position right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe Andrade, the first couple of months, it won't work out. I think Andrade will be fine. The talent is clearly there. The charisma is there. He's working on his promos and stuff. He's not even a guy that needs like a big time. He's not a guy that needs to cut like these major promos. Like the in-ring work is going to speak for itself. They can get him a different mouthpiece. So I don't think Vicky is the person who should be doing his promos for him. But yeah, I thought I was just going back to WWE because he was taking his time. And I thought he was just going to do his little, an ROH run, do some matches in Mexico. You know, Charlotte's still in WWE and everything. I just thought he said he wanted to be WWE champion. I thought, he'll just end up back there. Like, they'll just re-sign him. If Tony Khan wants these people, like, he's going to get them. And I think you're right in that, like, I think these talents just want to work there. You talk, like, you listen to a lot of these interviews and how everybody is just saying, like, you know, it's a family there and they put each other over. And, like, it gets a little annoying when you listen to, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I hear every single AEW talent say this. I'm like, all right, dude, I get it. Like, it's a family. Like, I understand this stuff. At the same time, like, I can't knock all this positivity, right? Like, I can't, if everyone going there is like, hey, this is great. I love it. Everyone's so kind. Everyone wants everyone to succeed. Like, it's annoying to me as someone who is looking for stories and I don't want to write the 300th, you know, this person says AEW is a family. Like, that's not a story for me. But as someone who just enjoys, you know, wrestlers getting along and likes people to be happy and to succeed, I'm like, yeah, good. I'm glad this is happening.
I'm gonna go full Stan Twitter now. You ready?
Oh my god, yes.
Hey Jeremy, have you seen Buddy Murphy's liked tweets?
I haven't.
Lord Kenny Omega. Yeah. A lot of All Elite graphics in the liked tweets section of the Buddy Murphy. I would know. I'm a Stan.
I think that's where he's going. Here's the other thing about AEW is it's like, clearly they don't care if you work elsewhere, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. This is the thing.
Yeah, like you're not only on a major company, on a major platform. It's like, yeah, if you want to go do matches in AAA or you want to go do matches in New Japan, if you want to show up in GCW and fight Nick Gage, like go ahead, do all that stuff. Like not only do you get the attention and the promotion that you're looking for as a wrestler, like you also get the creative freedom, just do the shit you want to do outside of the promotion.
There are two things that, and I know it sounded like a joke, guys, but that Buddy Murphy thing actually had me pondering something bigger. He's always been very public about the idea that he wants to wrestle Omega, right? That's like his ultimate dream match. And we, you know, you didn't have to hear him say it to know that. Like, he's obviously taken a lot of Kenny's stuff. I think you and I, as old cynics, perhaps understate or under kind of appreciate just like how special is Kenny Omega is to the modern wrestler, you know? Like, I think there's no way, it's not a coincidence, and maybe it's lost on you and I that, like, you do these interviews, bro. Like, every wrestler's, I want to wrestle Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Andrade said it. And I think that is a big factor, the idea that Kenny is considered the kind of critical. And we're not like big Kenny guys. We know he's a great pro wrestler. We're not like, oh my God, he's the best human in the history of the world. But I think there's something to be said for the idea that a lot of these guys that are having these modern matches, he's like the ultimate. In addition to that, they now have a roster that's so big that if you've been in wrestling for 2 years, you probably know someone that works in AEW. Like, it is an insane roster. You probably have a friend there. Like, we were just talking about Buddy Murphy. I know that he and Andrade and Aleister Black, I'm pretty sure, is like a kind of a clique there of sorts. Not like Kev, Razor, and Sean, but like friends, as we would call it in real life. And I think, exactly. And I think all of this stuff, like, you know, there's just, if you're a believer in the idea that current day wrestlers are a lot more kind of You know, family's probably too strong. I agree with what you were saying about that. A lot of people say about AEW, but like, they're just, you know, they're more pally, right? There's less competition because everyone just wants to have their cool matches, really. There's not nearly as much like, let me win. It's more, let me lose in 15, which is a big part of AEW's whole identity at this point. I think with that in mind, it's like, okay, they are all more pally and friendly. It helps that they have this many guys on the roster because everyone knows someone. Everyone's got a friend in AEW. We were talking about Braun last week, and I mentioned it to you. He's probably an outlier. He still has the big shows there. Mark Henry's there. Like, there's a lot of dudes there, man. It's an interesting time. And I think this is the reason I'm having this conversation now is I want to see what happens next. A guy like Samoa Joe, to me, he's not someone that's going to be moved or impressed by the idea that that's the hot place to be. Joe's been at the hot place to be many times in the past. He does not care. Joe's going to follow the money, right? Like, that's Joe. He's
at that point. Joe's a businessman.
Yeah, a businessman. And he's a guy who, I assume, he wants to make some money here before he bids farewell to pro wrestling. And he can always get a job as a commentator anywhere he wants. So it's like, he'll be an interesting one to follow. Frankly, though, Jeremy, the rest of these guys, I think they're all looking in AEW's direction. I think they all perceive that to be the place to be. So I am very intrigued to see what's next. As a Joe fan, I'm a little bit anxious to find out. But the rest of them, I think this Andrade signing was a statement. Like, it's a matter of what TK wants to do. If they want to, you know, if he wants them, they're probably going to be there. He's got the deepest pockets and he's got the biggest exposure to his promotion. All that good stuff.
Where do you think, Joe? Do you think he ends up in AEW? I know you're DMing him, you know, asking where he's going to go and everything. Mm-hmm. Has he responded to you?
He has not, but I think he's inactive on Twitter. He would have, if he had logged on, he would have definitely. Look, I think Joe, I've always said, I think AEW's, frankly, I think AEW would be foolish not to, because I know, I get they have so many guys. Joe's pretty special, man. You know? I mean, this is not like, he's an older guy, so it's not like he's someone you have to lock in for 10 years of planning, right? It's like, you get some cool matches out of Joe. You know, I feel like the AEW audience, which is, I don't mean this as a diss, but effectively the AEW audience is kind of disgruntled WWE fans. Like, I feel like that audience loves Samoa Joe.
Yes, know, like, 100%.
Not casual. Casual's too strong, but the fan that's like doesn't star rate and fucking go on cage match and shit. I feel like all of those people are like, why did Jonah become WWE champ? And then it's the people that are further in the bubble that go, well, he got injured in January 2018, October 2018, and they start going for it. Most people are just like, dude, Joe's awesome. That's the kind of guy I want in AEW. Now, if he goes to Impact, like everyone keeps telling me in my DMs, I wouldn't be surprised because everyone keeps telling me in my DMs. But I still think AEW. What do you think?
I think AEW too. And I mean, if he wants to go to Impact, he can. Like, he can still sign with AEW, right, and he could just appear on Impact television. Like, he can do all of this stuff. I think, like, this is what makes AEW so attractive, is you can work for these other promotions if you want to. Now I've just decided everyone's going to AEW. So yeah. I'm not going to get fooled on this Andrade thing again. They're going to AEW. Braun is the one that I'm still like, no, this guy's going back to WWE 100%. Like, I just don't see
him. Here's a bigger question. I know Bob O'Neill's coming to kill our viewership, but do you think TK has got a saying up his sleeve here? In the sense that, here's what my question is. I'll start with this. This is a small question and we'll go big picture. Do you think Tony is going to be involved in this NWA Women's pay-per-view? You think he's going to give some talent? Okay, yes. So do I.
Yeah.
Would you... I share your take on that. And I am consistently pondering what this all means, because look, there's definitely something to be said for being awful kind and saying, yes, we'll work with you just to use Thunder Rosa. I get that, but like, the writing's on the wall with Thunder Rosa, right? I mean, when she's free, this seems pretty obvious she's going to AEW full time.
Yeah,
is Tony preparing for some kind of actual move that more than just kind of, you know, handshakes here and there, truly tries to unite these promotions? Because, and I don't know what that would be, whether it be, you know, a streaming service or some kind of shared event or any of this stuff. Frankly, Jeremy, I see very little reason for him to keep playing ball with NWA other than, like, to use Thunder Rosa. I mean, that's cool and all, but, like, I don't know. Do you think there's an end game for Tony Khan? Is he just playing nice and he wants to kind of change the, you know, the way people do stuff as a major promotion?
When it comes to NWA specifically or just overall?
Just generally. I mean, because Impact, we don't have to do this again, but people think Impact have got fleeced, and it's like, What have AEW got out of it other than the Gallows and Anderson stuff? Like, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's just interesting because they don't need, as we just laid out, they have 100 wrestlers. They don't need to share with anyone. They don't need anyone, right?
I really think he just wants to kind of play nice with everybody. Right. And because he's in a position of power, you know, like AEW, like you said, like they use Thunder Rosa. Cool. Their television's better because they have right. Thunder Rosa. They can get Thunder Rosa once she's free in January. So they don't need to do too much on that front. Impact. All right. They've got Gallows and Anderson, but they don't need Omega as the Impact champion. That doesn't do too much for them. It's not going to hurt them or help them either way. I really think he just wants to play nice with everyone. As far, I don't think Impact is going to be like, oh yeah, we're going to, you know, become like a feeder system for you or anything. And if anybody becomes free, Tony can offer these guys money and a position and everything. But then you've got like the Impact guys, like, you know, they're not going anywhere. Some guys like Edwards and Callahan, like they're just going to stay with Impact. Mm-hmm. Like they need that spot. I think Tony just wants to prove that like we can all just kind of work together and help each other out. And if we need guys, we can use them and stuff. And otherwise, you know, you guys can do your own thing and we'll continue to do our own thing. I think Tony helps out this pay-per-view, not because it's some type of like favor to the NWA. I think Mickey's the executive producer. Mickey has a lot of friends. She's very well respected. Yes. Like, I think it's more of a favor of to Mickey to just be like, you know, if Britt, like, hey, Britt, do you want to work this pay-per-view? Sure. Like, Tony's not going to say like no to any of this stuff. And I don't think he wants like any type of money in return for it. It's just, it's a cool event. We'll see if Mickey can launch like an entire brand around this. Then you run into a thing of like, all right, are you going to be able, you're not using like AEW talent if this is like a whole new brand, right, whole new promotion type thing. But I think for at least this event, Tony's gonna be like, whoever you want, Mickey, like whatever you want to do, you can have them.
I also think Tony probably wants to use Mickey at some point. So like it's even more direct than, you know, and part of it could be, as simple as you just pointed out, it's a positive when negotiating with guys. Hey, look, you come here and you're not having a great time, man. We can let you do two takings and Impact. You can go over there and kick ass. It helps in that regard. I do think it's an interesting thing to ponder of like, what would actually be the effects of them making something truly official? And what's interesting about that, obviously, is the NWA and Impact, I do not think are particularly keen on, you know, getting in bed with each other. So it's something to think about. But either way, I think the Andrade signing is one where we all kind of in the bubble go,
see,
they're as far ahead as we thought they were, you know?
I think when it comes to NWA and Impact, obviously there's tensions there because Corgan doesn't like them and everything because of the way he got outed. But
same.
I still think like Impact is going to let them use their talent because I think people are going to want to attach. Obviously WWE won't. I think every other brand is going to want to attach their name to this and be like, see, we played good on this. We were part of this. We're part of something special. We're part of something unique. And again, Mickey has influence here. Mickey mentioned Deonna in an interview of somebody she likes, she would like on the pay-per-view. If Mickey comes to them and is like, hey, I want to use Deonna, I don't think Scott D'Amore is going to be like, ah, you know, Billy Corgan doesn't really like us and we're not going to give you our women's champion or anything, because that's a bad look for Impact. So I think everybody that can and that is approached and that is willing will allow their women talent to work on the show.
Bob's waiting, but I don't care. Do you think Mickey heard my speech last week where I did that really emotional, like, everyone work together and do it for the best of the business? Do you think she heard that?
Yeah, I honestly do.
I do too. She shared my article once. It's interesting, Jeremy, is that Nick Aldis violently quote tweet dunked on me. Mickey James liked my article once. So, you know, these things happen in MMA, as you once told me.
I got to read the super chat. Vegas wraps it up tonight out of her wash. Go fuck yourself. All right.
Wow, okay. History pilot.
Robert O'Neill's here. Hello, Robert O'Neill. Your mic is muted, you idiot.
It's a great start. No, I mean, I'm tired today. I don't have anything. I told you that. And you told
great.
Me.
What are you here for?
I'll figure it out.
Will you
figure it out? I want to apologize to you because the Avs were up 2-0 when you came on the Robert O'Neill penalty box.
Yeah, whose sports franchise are you going to ruin today?
Joseph, you want to talk about the Sixers for 3 minutes?
Absolutely not. No, do not talk about the Sixers ever. You still pretend Embiid is bad. Ben Simmons is bad. All of these things. I'm not talking about it.
I bet on Embiid to win the MVP this year.
Well, you're an idiot. He was obviously going to get injured. Why would you do that? Never going to win that award.
It's true.
Look, I think here's my genuine take on that whole situation. I think both awards that featured Sixers guys in the final three went to the right winner. I really do. Yeah. You know, I mean, Ben Simmons is an amazing defender. Defending's it's a lot easier when you have Embiid behind you. Gobert's got his flaws, but at least they build the defense around him. Ben's got Embiid in the paint, so it's different.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like Gobert, but he's good. He's obviously very good. He's won the Defensive Player of the Year 4 times or whatever at this point. I mean,
are we talking about this for 3 minutes? Because I haven't got anything else to say.
O'Neal said he didn't have anything to talk about, so I just figured once he started talking, I was going to start his time.
That's fine. We're just riffing, man. We're having a good time.
Did I not give you an idea?
We're just riffing, says Robert O'Neal.
Did I not give you an idea?
Yeah, you did. I'm getting to that. We got time to fill. You know, last week you guys said what shows you're going to be at. I did not get a chance to say where I'm going to be. So if you're going to be, you know, at SummerSlam or Full Gear, or maybe this NWA Women's show, since it's going to be right down the street from me, apparently, I will be at all those. So,
do you need me to talk to Nick and get you tickets for that?
For the women's show, yes. For the anniversary show, I will not be attending.
Fair.
So,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Joseph, should I tell everyone what our next TNA podcast is?
Yes, you should, Robert O'Neil.
So we're going to do a Slammiversary, and then I'm like, oh, this company was formed in June of 2002. So we're watching the first TNA pay-per-view sometime this weekend.
Like the first weekly pay-per-view?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So I don't think it's going to be good, but you know.
No, it's not a good show.
Can we all take a moment to appreciate that Bob, he thought we were watching Slammiversary, but then only just realized that June marks the anniversary. Of course, Bob, that's the whole point of Slammiversary. It's the anniversary of the... That's the whole point of it. But anyway,
it's not their big show, though.
It's July now, so I get it. I get the confusion. Now, look, here's the situation. Bob texts me, or DM me, whatever the hell, and he goes, the first weekly one, because he's listening to the Jeff Jarrett podcast like I am.
Yeah,
and
I'm very good. I enjoy it.
Listen, it's great. But I said, listen, Bob, this is a very bad show. No, we're not doing this. And I was in the process of Titan saying a lot ruder than that. And then I was like, hang on, how long is this show, Bob? Hour and 40, Jeremy. An hour and 40 minutes. Yeah. Sounds like the best TNA pay-per-view ever, if you ask me, baby.
Yeah.
We only do weekly shows now. We're ready to go.
That's a big part of it, because that three-hour one was rough, and it almost killed Joseph.
I missed, three shows. Very sad. Yeah. It's a Saturday night. We're taping this, too. I don't want to be, watching, Jeff Jarrett hang up the King of the Mountain title and all this stuff. I like Jeff Jarrett. I don't have to watch him wrestle, do I? It's not
Need for it. A lot of people have been talking about how the viewership drops during this segment. You know what? If you don't like it, don't watch.
They're listening to you.
We've done that bit.
I know.
They're listening to you.
I got 5 seconds left.
Do you have any comments on quality before you get out of here, Bob?
I think that...
good job.
I guess we'll never know.
It timed that well. I don't know if he actually has comments on equality, but it was very good timing for him to hit that right at the 3 minute mark.
Head to Twitch to find out Robert O'Neill's thoughts on equality.
Is he going to be on Twitch with us, O'Neill? Do you want to do Twitch with us? I see you're still backstage. Nod your head. Okay, just nodded his head. All right,
good. I'll like Twitch with us. We haven't got anything to talk about. Clearly, we haven't spoken about anything. They've been on for an hour. I don't know how we managed to get a show out of this shit, Jeremy. We need AEW back on Wednesdays. We're an AEW review podcast. This is the nightmare. This we did 40 minutes on the WWE Women's Division. Why did we do that? It was my fault. I kept going. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible scenes. I apologize for this show, folks. It will soon be back on the Wednesday nights. We can all, we can all enjoy ourselves again.
Anything else you want to talk about? I feel like we've hit everything. You excited for Against All Odds? You didn't even know the show was taking place 2 days ago.
I did not. This is the Moose one, or is the Sami Callihan included, do we think?
Not unless that happens tonight, which...
Did you see that graphic of Tony, Don, and Scott, like the Goodfellas poster? Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was good,
Tony
right?
Tony's going to be on Impact tonight. It'll probably be good.
Can you settle this? Because Tony... There you go. Tony Schiavone gets very upset about this. Is Tony Khan a good promo?
He does them all in one take. He's a fantastic promo. Unscripted and everything.
Did you see Shivani's tweet? He's like, I don't want to hear it anymore. This guy's not a good promo. Like people are sliding his DMs, reviewing his tremendous stuff. I am reviewing Against the Odds on Monday. So
my review will be, sounds like it was a good match, or nope, didn't watch that.
I'll be doing that and NXT TakeOver, which the kids would say seems bad, Jeremy Lav. It seems real, real bad. But what, you know?
TakeOver, I will have thoughts on. I'll be doubling up my thoughts on TakeOver because I'm doing the post show on Sunday as well.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm doing it with the great Denise Salcedo.
Oh, my.
We're just going to, yeah. That's, I don't know how
big draw.
Go.
Big
she
draw.
Is. She is.
Put me over on that show, will you, Jeremy?
I will.
People happy for us to go now. Can we leave?
Yeah,
we have to still do. Do you want to talk about the women's division?
Which
one? Did you see that segment on Raw where Lily was involved? And I haven't seen it discussed much on my timeline. Did you see this segment?
No. You want to talk more about ladders?
No, I liked our friend John Alba. Well, your friend. I don't actually know John Alba, but he seems cool. He has a blue tick. So everyone has a blue tick, my friend, because I'm selling my soul these days. But he was like,
I'm pretty sure we could get you a blue tick. I don't want one.
No, I don't want to be a seller. I just want to use people to have them.
Yeah, we're not selling out. We are not selling out.
Poor everybody. John Alba was like just a 25 tweet friend. John. I was reading like, John, bless your cotton socks, man. This is not the Tuster stuff to review this way, my friend. It's, you know, it's a little dull, isn't it? They're just doing horror movie stuff, Jeremy. Why are we analysing this? Why do we talk about any of this? Why do we do a wrestling podcast?
We shouldn't. Triple H just told us. We don't have to do any of this.
It's terrible. It's terrible times.
You know what, folks? We're no longer a wrestling podcast. If you want non-wrestling talk, go to Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. The best show we've ever done took place on Tuesday where we talked about Mighty Ducks for an hour and a half with SV3 and Steven Jensen. Go watch that show.
Death to pro wrestling, Jeremy. Death to it. This is what happens when they take AEW off Wednesdays. I start losing my mind. I'm asking Samoa Joe to DM me. He's not DMing me anytime soon, I don't think. It's just terrible. I don't know what to do, Jeremy. I don't know.
Next week, I'm pretty sure Dynamite's on a Friday again next week. It might, maybe next week's the Saturday. No, the 26th is a Saturday special. Dynamite's on a Friday next week. I'm going to look at the schedule. I'm going to double check this. Next week, Joseph, what if we just don't do a wrestling podcast? We'll do this show.
No, we have to because they'll probably release people and everyone will like get excited coming here and we can speculate wildly about people that are not going to be free for 3 months.
Yeah, Dynamite is on Friday next week. We'll have already talked about Dynamite a little bit, I'm sure, on the Twitch show. We'll have reviewed TakeOver. Raw is not going to give us anything to talk about. I don't care about NXT. Which won't do a wrestling podcast next week.
What are we going to do? Because I might not want to talk about the Sixers, by the way. We don't know what will happen with the Sixers.
Yeah, I won't have hockey to talk about.
So what are we going to do? Just stare at each other for an hour?
That's it. That's our show next week. All right, everybody? Okay. We're just stare at each other. You know what, Joseph? Okay. I got an idea for next week, okay?
Is it a good idea or one that's going
to... No, it's god-awful. It's horrible. But this is our show next week. It might be our shortest show ever. We have a special show for everybody next week, okay?
Okay, is there a WWE pay-per-view next week before we confirm this? Because I don't know.
Oh, yeah, there is Hell in a Cell. I think. Is Hell in a Cell next week? I have no idea.
It has to be
soon. Yeah, it is. Right? Yeah, it's June 20th, so that would be next week.
Sorry to hear that.
Who cares?
Hey, listen, I've got a victory lap to take for that pay-per-view. If they book the match that I think they're going to book tomorrow night on SmackDown, I'll have a victory lap to take, which you are refusing any guilt in, which is disgraceful. You should be ashamed.
Oh, Roman and Rey?
Yes, and the people in the chat may remember it. Jeremy Lambert, the Jimmy, laughed at me. And I was like, you know, he's got guys to wrestle, Rey Mysterio. And he was like, Rey Mysterio is a loser with one eye. And I was like, he might. And he's getting
it. Yeah, great. I'm real excited for this pay-per-view. Roman against the loser with one eye.
He ruled. No, don't do that. That's too far. Okay. That's too far. If you don't like it, don't watch it. That's what I say.
I wish.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Same rule goes for this podcast, folks. We concede that it's shit, but if you don't like it, just don't watch it. Don't tell us about it.
Yes, I get it, guys. Hell in a Cell is next Sunday. Did you know this, Joseph? Hell in a Cell is next Sunday?
I did think so, yeah. I mean, I thought so when you said it, and then when the whole chat said it too, I was like, must be.
Maybe we'll talk about Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. You want to talk about Lily?
No. Maybe we'll do what I just came up with 5 minutes ago when, instead of doing a wrestling podcast. Maybe. That I'm not going to clue anybody in on except myself.
Okay. Would you like to talk about the Roman Reigns angle being potentially overrated, and then we can just like shout at each other and get angry about it? Would you like to do that?
Nothing happens, Joseph. Nothing happens in the angle. Bro, Paul Heyman just makes faces. He goes,
right. See, here's the thing with that pop me, okay? There's definitely real. You could have a conversation about the pacing of the program and some of the presentation choices, like you could with any program. But I do love, and the tweet popped me, so no doubt, Wrestling God bless, it's a funny tweet, but I love that, like, the explanation for it, like, you could do for any wrestling angle ever, right? Like, literally any angle ever you could, like, I know what you did was, like, made faces, said the same stuff everywhere. It's like, yeah, man, wrestling's dumb, I agree. Just stop the podcast. Death to it, I'm ending it. I'm going to get rid of it. I've had enough of it. I will wait for Samoa Joe to make his choice, and if he's watching the show, which I know he is now on your shoulders, Samoa Joe, man. Because if you do something that I do not like, I will end professional wrestling. I've had enough of it. I'll click the finger. No more. It's pro wrestling. Good night, everyone.
Help us kill pro wrestling. Sign up to our Patreon, The Distraction. I don't know what our Patreon. Patreon.com/TheDistraction. We'll be on Twitch in the next 15 minutes. So twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. And that's it. Right, Joseph, do you want to plug anything? The GOAT Molly Bell back on Twitter. Everyone go say hi to Molly. You didn't see this? Oh, yes. She tweeted. Very happy. All right, everyone. We'll catch y'all on Twitch, and we'll catch y'all for a potentially special episode next week.